leadership, sitting back in sort of a priestly role. So it's really good to be with you. I have a notice from Jackie Crisp to say that all the winter booklets have been collected for delivery across the benefice. So a huge thank you to all of you who have volunteered to do the distribution of the booklets. If you are having problems with this, then please do let Jackie or Mandy know, because there is help available for the villages. And if you have any left at the end of your deliveries, please return them to the church office, because the plan is to deliver them in Honingham as well. So let's just pause for a moment as we come to our act of worship for this second Sunday of Advent. We come together virtually as the body of Christ to praise and worship the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our opening hymn this morning is Thou Whose Almighty Word. Colin will now light the two candles on our Advent ring. I'll see if I can turn it so you may be able to see what he's doing. Maybe not. Faithful God, help us to prepare our heart and home for the birth of the Saviour. Show us how to make the path of our lives and our world peace-filled, so that we can joyfully receive the Messiah. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And now let's just be still for a moment as we come to God and call to mind the times when we have perhaps not behaved in the way we should and when we may have let him down. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Heavenly Father, you have created a universe of light. Forgive us when we return to darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. Cleanse and heal our blinded sight. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you give us light in our hearts. Renew us in faith and love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, purify our hearts and minds that when your Son Jesus Christ comes again as judge and saviour, we may be ready to receive him who is our Lord and our God.
Amen.
We shall now sing "Thank You for Saving Me."
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. For we know your truth has set us free. You set your hope in mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry. God, let your kingdom come. Your word has led. Thank you for saving me. Yeah. Truth has set us free.
June will now bring us our Bible reading for this morning.
The reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 8. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people from Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Loving Father, I pray that in your word we may see your light and know your peace. A voice calls out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This morning, I should like us to think about peace. Now, before you start scanning the Bible verses June has just read to us and started to wonder if in my absence from preaching, I've been put off kilter a bit, let me explain. You will not find the word peace in these opening verses in Mark's Gospel. But is that not the beauty of Scripture, that God brings it alive for us and surprises us at times and reveals to us a deep understanding of verses that we think we know well? John the Baptist is one of my biblical heroes. And whilst I may choose not to emulate his style of clothing, his diet, or the amount of time he spent with his feet in the river, I am awestruck by his desire and passion for calling people to repent. Because repentance brings freedom, and freedom brings peace. And that is the direction in which we are going this morning. Each Sunday, we come together and offer ourselves to God, in the words of the confession. The Advent liturgy we share this morning says this: "When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins." Communication is important. And during these past 3 months following surgery, I experienced firsthand what it was like to lose the ability to physically speak. This I had been prepared for. What caught me by surprise was coming to terms with the change that the surgery had made to my own understanding of my identity. You see, I have a twin sister, which some of you may know. And even in our 60th year, we are still mistaken for one another. Or were, because now we are different. Being different hurt. And worst of all, I couldn't understand why it hurt. My cancer had been taken away. So surely I should not be feeling like this. Pre-surgery, I felt only peace, which didn't help at all. It has taken time to work this through with myself and with God. John was different. We all have moments in our lives when we experience something that lifts or shakes us and redefines our path. John was such a person for the Jewish people of his day. I chose our first hymn for the word chaos in the second line of the first verse, because I believe that is how John came across to many, a chaotic sort of man rushing around. Mark's gospel is shorter than the other three, and it moves us along quite rapidly. I would like us to pause for a moment just to get in our mind's eye a picture of John. How do you see him? Notice the detail in the description of his clothing. Verse 6 tells us he wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt. We have heard these descriptions before. Elijah was described as having a cloak of hair and a leather thong. Both prophets' physical appearance contrasted sharply with that of Israel's cultural religious leaders. This says a lot to us about the lifestyle and priorities of Elijah and John. What image do we portray in the world, I wonder? And these few verses from clothing take us on to diet. Whilst insects, and in particular locusts and wild honey, were considered common food for those living in the desert, particularly locusts, as they were clean foods, I suspect that you and me would find them hard to digest, even with a fail-safe recipe from Delia or Nigella. But here again, his life choices are showing us that he's not a self-indulgent man. For me, noticing these things bring power to his message. Even more so when we get to verse 7, but we will come to that shortly. Do we take the call to repentance seriously? And if we do, what is in it for us? And how does it affect our relationship with others? This is where I offer you the word peace. Prepare the way of peace. Going back to verse 2, we read it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. This reference we find in chapter 40, verse 3. May I encourage you to read Isaiah chapter 40 this next week and listen to the three voices that offer comfort to those willing to make good and straight their way to God. Or if you don't fancy Isaiah, go to Malachi chapter 3, who also speaks of God's messenger preparing the way. As was the custom of the day, we do not need an envoy to go ahead of us to clear the path, that leads to God. All we need is an open heart and a willingness to seek forgiveness. Saying sorry or admitting we have done something wrong or misread a situation and so acted inappropriately brings consequences. And that was something we learn as we read of the resistance John experienced as he went about his ministry of repentance baptism. The definition of the repentance called for throughout the Bible in the Greek as mentonioi, and I'm sorry if Greek is one of your languages and I've mispronounced that. It's a summons to a personal, absolute, an ultimate, unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. Though it includes sorrow and regret, it's more than that. In repenting, one makes a complete change of direction, a direction that turns us away from sin and turns us to God. I have had the privilege of witnessing full immersion baptisms in different places, in the River Jordan, the sea at Overstrand, in the church at All Saints, Mattershall, and in a baptistry built by my husband at the Evangelical Church in Durham. As an onlooker, I have observed what I perceive this experience to be like for those being baptized, which I would sum up for you in one word: freedom. John's ministry was dangerous because it fought against the authorities and leaders who wanted things done their own way. They were not ready for John's message, namely the good news of Jesus, the Son of God. The familiar story of the Exodus from Egypt and the rescue from Pharaoh coming through the Red Sea and into the wilderness to the Promised Land was not only well known, but celebrated every year at Passover time. John was moving the story on, preparing the people to be ready to meet with the one whose sandals he was not worthy to untie, issuing an invitation to leave the past behind and take a step into the future. We are currently taking tentative steps each day as we comply with the lockdown restrictions and following government ruling, taking care not to breach the invisible 1.5 or 2 meter boundaries or barriers. But I hope, like me now, your faith is bringing you freedom and peace in new ways as we experience having to do things differently. I truly do believe that when we say sorry to God for the times we have let him down in our own life experiences, that if we're willing to say sorry from our hearts, our lives will take on a new quality as we open ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever I read the Gospel accounts of John, I am drawn to a particular song, which I suppose I'm going to sort of offer you as a sort of confession. I don't repent of enjoying this song. It's become my go-to music to play when doing a chore. I particularly dislike ironing. Now, you may have a way of getting you through those things that you don't like doing. But for me, it has to be Barry Manilow. There's one particular song that I like to sing at the top of my voice as I'm ironing. And you're going to indulge me now as I share with you some of the lyrics. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. That would be an unnecessary pain and a step too far. Just one voice, singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice. Singing so they hear what's on your mind. And when you look around, you'll find there's more than one voice singing in the darkness, joining with your one voice. Hands are joined and hearts unlocked and fears unlocked. If only one voice would start on its own, we need just one voice facing the unknown. And then that one voice would never be alone. It takes that one voice. I thank God for the voice of John the Baptist, calling in the darkness. And I offer you three things to ponder and pray about this coming week. Firstly, where among us is Jesus' voice most needed to be heard? And secondly, where among us is his peace most needed to be received? And thirdly, who among us needs to be set free from a dark place today? Amen. We shall now sing a reflection song. Well, I say sing, you don't have to sing if you don't wish to do so. At the end of our reading this morning, we heard Mark 1, verse 8. If you wish to receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you to open your palms as you listen or sing this song. Thank you, Mark.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Let us declare our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
It's now time to sing again. We shall sing, Great is the Darkness That Covers the Earth.
Jesus.
Let us pray.
A prayer for hope. Father God, every word in Scripture points to the gift of hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and restore them into a relationship with you. But we are able to truly begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the scripture. Help us to see that you are with us. Nothing is too difficult or too messy for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give. When we believe on your Son, repent of our sins, and confess Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. May the winter booklets being delivered across the benefice, bring the assurance of your message of hope to all who receive them. Amen.
A prayer for peace. Lord, in a season where hearts should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, burdens that steal our joy. We need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts too often are filled with wonder of a different kind, wondering when the bills will be paid, when the terror will stop, when the rest will come, when lockdown will end. in a world where worry, not peace, prevails. Stir up that good news again. This Advent, make it real in our hearts. You have promised rest for the weary, victory for the battle-scarred, peace for the anxious, and acceptance for the broken-hearted. Not just at Advent, but every day of the year. We know that peace on earth can only come when hearts find peace with you. You are still our peace. We lift you now, those known to us, who need to feel God's presence and God's peace in their lives.
A prayer for joy. Let us remember that the good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy this Christmas season. Our joy is not dependent on what is going on in our life, in our world, or the people that we are with. It does not depend on the gifts we give or the gifts we find under the tree. No earthly thing can ever give us complete joy. Our joy comes from you. That joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the hosts of heaven, and Mary and Joseph, is the joy that still has the power to overwhelm our hearts with rejoicing. Our joy is a gift. We remember those who are experiencing sadness, the bereaved and the lonely. From the silence of our hearts, we pause to hold each person before our loving Father God and pray that he will flood the hearts of those in want with comfort and understanding. Amen.
And finally, a prayer for love. Heavenly Father, the whole meaning of Christmas can be explained in one little four-letter word, love. You sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas. The greatest gift came wrapped in the flesh of baby Jesus and laid in the rough wood of a manger. Our perfect gift would later be rewrapped in the scars of our sin and nailed to the rugged wood of a cross on Calvary. All because of love. Father, fill our hearts and minds with the significance of that truth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to send Jesus. We pray for the nativity displays being prepared for our church porches and the angel trails being prepared for our villages. And for Mark and our staff team as they prepare for our Christmas celebration services. May we reach out in love in our communities this Advent and Christmas time. Amen.
Amen.
We conclude our prayers by joining together and saying the Lord's Prayer in the version that is closest to each of our hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is There Is a Redeemer. Compassion.
Come, Lord Jesus.
With judgment and mercy.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In moments of ease and times of trial.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In power and great glory.
Come, Lord Jesus.
May God himself, the God of peace, make us perfect and holy, and keep us safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always.
Amen.
As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you to Mark, who was our techie person today. We couldn't do it without you, or I couldn't anyway. And thank you to June. Thank you to Libby and Paul and to Colin. It was good to be with you. And I'm sure you're now all wanting to rush off and find that Barry Manilow song. You've got 5 minutes to do so. And then please join us for coffee if you wish. Have a safe week. Be careful, it's quite slippy out there today.